Beast High.
Hello, podcast fans.
It's Wildcat Minute, where we talk about High School Musical 3, senior year, 1 minute at a time. I'm Condra.
And my name is Tyler.
And today we're talking about minute 86 of High School Musical 3, senior year. Minute 86 starts out with Troy saying, "My prom is wherever you are," and ends with Troy and Gabriella singing, "It's one in a million."
Condra, do you know the restaurant slang 86, meaning zero?
I know of 86 as like a euphemism to end someone's life.
Well, yes. Yeah, so in Little Shop of Horrors, Audrey 2 says, there must be someone you can 86 real quiet like.
So I can get me some lunch.
Yes. So it comes from the restaurant term 86, meaning if you ask for 86 pickles on something, you're actually asking for no pickles on something. Because
so it's like a 19 in cribbage?
I suppose. It's more like the prospect of asking for zero or for no is like a little bit harder to hear, but 86 is like such a distinct collection of syllables. And then it just has turned into a verb in the way that things turn into verbs. So if you're like in the drive-thru saying, "Hey, can I get a hamburger 86 the ketchup?" That becomes a transitive verb.
Is that like a common thing anymore, or is that kind of died out?
I think it's like for people in the know. It's like the reverse of a secret menu item where like the people in the I guess the same as a secret menu item where it's like people think it's a thing, but you can't guarantee that everyone who works in a restaurant knows what that is.
Yeah.
So you might sound like an idiot if you go into a situation thinking you could use the like secret term, and whereas like not everybody knows it.
Yeah. I just feel like if I were to go into my local Dunkin' Donuts on the morning shift and ask for them to 86 the ice, they'd be like, "That makes no sense."
Well, I suppose when you're ordering a coffee, there's no like implied ingredient, like especially at Dunkin' Donuts where they ask you what you want in the coffee, but...
But like, I don't get coffee.
So what are you ordering without ice?
Their refreshers, which they have been sued over for misrepresenting the ingredients in.
But yeah, minute 86. I wish we could 86 this minute.
That's what you were saying. I just thought it was, "Oh, Tyler's going off again. Let's go."
The best part is that the title of this episode will now be Wildcat Minute 3, number 86, colon 86.
Oh, no.
Spelled out with letters, not the numbers.
Naturally. Y'all, I've been sick. I don't know what's wrong. But my brain's not working, so we're going to get through this together. I just thought it was in reference, like you were going to be like, transition to Troy pulling out a crushed corsage out of his suit jacket, because that corsage is definitely crushed.
Yeah. It's complicated thing. So he got the corsage from his mom yesterday?
No, she said it would be. She was still talking in the future as if when it was ready. So did he have to go there before the flower shop closed? Because he's at night. Time doesn't work.
Wait. So in the last scene, he had the tux, but he hadn't. The mom didn't hand him a flower in that moment.
No, she's like, "Oh, the corsage we picked out is gonna look so good."
Okay. So it's possible that like even more time has passed. Like it's possible that the scene in the kitchen wasn't even yesterday. It's possible that it was a week ago or 2 days ago or 3 days ago.
But it has to be yesterday.
Why? Were they saying that prom was tomorrow in that scene?
Gabriella was supposed to be flying home for prom.
But that doesn't mean that...
Why would she have to leave that much earlier? Like, because she would be going home to, what, stay with Taylor? Because now they don't have their house? Like, Gabriella's mom isn't with her.
My understanding. All right. I guess we have to do the Stanford Honors Program again. My understanding of the Stanford Honors Program. We should get t-shirts that say Stanford Honors Program. May 2008 two question mark.
It could be April. We could be in April right now. Because it's happening before the play. So the spring musicale hasn't happened yet. It could be April still.
More like the Stanford Prison Experiment at this point.
Just for us. That's insensitive to the horrors the people actually went through. But
yes. You're right. For some reason, the Stanford Prison Experiment is like one of those tragedies that, like, because you learn about it in history class, like, it becomes a meme, kind of like the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire. Like,
yeah,
it's the premise of a joke. Like, to reference it is a joke, but the thing isn't a joke. So
yeah, I think you're coming from an English background. I'm coming from a history background. And I think that's where my research in the Stanford Prison Experiment recently had to correlate it to other malpractice classroom experiments. So I've been taking it very serious. Like, that's just been something on my brain a lot lately.
Yeah. No, I mean, we would need to have listeners in order to get canceled. So,
Hey,
no.
Hi, Gio. How you doing?
No, the thing that I wanted to say was I had always assumed that the Stanford Honors Program just happened to be taking place during the time when the play was, and then it would be over by the time that the prom was. Not that Gabriella would leave and come back just to go to prom, but that it happened to overlap with one thing, but not the other thing.
But we know that's not the case.
Because she's here indefinitely forever.
Yes.
Okay. So the corsage would have died by the time he got it here, is what we're saying?
No, that he had it in his suit coat and was all up in the tree and then jumps down twice. Like, that thing's going to get crushed in his pocket. It's not even in a container. It's just loose.
It's like Hagrid sitting on Harry's birthday cake.
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't come in the clamshell. You're right. You got to have the corsage in a clamshell.
Protect it at all cost.
And if you don't have the corsage in a clamshell, have some French fries in a clamshell, because Gabriella's probably hungry.
Just something in a clamshell. We just need the clamshell.
A pearl.
Wow.
That's not a clam. That's an oyster? What?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I'm a genius. Marine biology, here I come.
So then
he says, my prom is wherever you are.
Yeah.
Which I guess is cute.
It's like the ultimate cliche. It's like the home is wherever you are kind of thing. Like, it's nothing we haven't heard before.
Well, the problem is the thing he says directly after that is, if I'm going to have my last dance at East High,
yeah,
it had better be with you. And that just doesn't make sense.
No, because they're not at East High. And, like, who's to say they're not going to dance at graduation?
He could say, like, my last dance as a wildcat. That would work.
But she calls him wildcat. He could be a wildcat indefinitely.
Yeah, once a wildcat, always a wildcat. I'm sure they've said that at some point.
They have said that.
She says something like, you're crazy, wildcat.
Again, I don't like when she calls him wildcat. Or hoops. I don't know why it irks me so much.
At this point, it's also lazy writing. Like,
mm-hmm.
I guess they were going for something cute, but
it's not cute. If it was like darling, or if she had a cute pet name.
She called him darling.
I don't know. Just like, we need a cute pet name.
Are Wendy and Peter there too?
So we're saying that Troy is Michael in this situation?
I just couldn't remember the last one.
It's Wendy, John, and Michael.
John? Is John? It's not even Peter?
No, Peter is Peter
no,
Pan.
No, Peter Pan. What about Nana?
Or Tinkerbell? Like,
and mother and father. Anyway.
Okay.
Now that I've shown myself to be an idiot twice this episode,
Let's go. Tyler, take Troy's hand.
Take my hand. Yeah.
Which is cute. So we jump back into Can I Have This Dance, a reprise. And Gabriella, so in the first version, Gabriella asked Troy to take her hand, and now Troy is asking her to take his hand. It's a circle.
We love a mutual relationship.
It's a circle.
I mean, yeah, I guess it's good that they did this song and not the Night of Nights. All right.
Or Right Here, Right Now.
Again, yeah.
Again for the third time. Yeah, it's weird that we have two. That just hit me. We've had two. This is the second reprise.
You can have more than one song reprise.
I just feel like it is less common for a Disney movie.
I guess. I think the only Disney reprise that still comes to mind is the Aladdin one, which we have already talked about.
Little Mermaid's got one.
Yeah, but I famously haven't seen Little Mermaid since I was pre-cognitive awareness.
Which is wild to me because I watch that movie at least once a year.
Yeah, never came up. I know like most of the beats of the movie, I guess.
You know the song Part of Our World or Part of Your World?
Yeah.
So there's one part where she's in the cave and she like goes up to the sun. And then there's another scene where she's just saved Prince Eric and she goes up on the rock and there's the big splash. That's the reprise.
The only song I barely like in Little Mermaid, there's the chef's song.
Lepa
that's the
song?
One that's a mystery to me. I have no like I know he says first I cut off their heads, then I pull out their bones, like because I've seen that in a YouTube clip. But the rest of that I have no context for.
It's so welcome to Little Mermaid minute now. So Sebastian and Ariel are living in Prince Eric's castle at this point. She's got no voice and legs. And Sebastian has somehow ended up in the kitchen and encounters Chef Louis, who is
French.
Dancing and singing in the kitchen as he prepares the first meal Ariel is about to have with Eric. And he is preparing his specialty, stuffed crabs. And he's also preparing other fish dishes because they live on the ocean. And so he's singing about cooking fish. And then the Sacre Bleu, I have missed one, is him finding Sebastian and then preparing Sebastian to cook. But Sebastian never actually, like, he gets himself out of the boiling pot before he gets cooked and winds up on a tray and then scuttles over to Ariel's tray. And the I'm trying to remember what, like, the butler advisor's name is.
Well, I wouldn't know. I've never seen this movie.
No, it's going to bother me, though, because I can almost hear Eric saying it.
I've got a joke that will take us away and then you can circle back.
Okay.
Condra, you seem to really like The Little Mermaid and know a lot about this crab character. Would you say that you're a Sebastian stan?
Hey, I do. I am a Sebastian stan as well.
Sebastian stan stan.
Sebastian stan stan.
Any other Sebastians out there? She's the man. That's Sebastian, right?
Yes. Yep. Or do yeah. Or Sino.
The brother. Yeah, the brother character.
Yeah. Yeah. Grimsby, that's his name. It's not Grimier, it's Grimsby. And it was close. I was really close. I think I've told this story on the pod before, but one of my first like audio loops that I've had in my adult life was Eric screaming, "I've lost her once. I'm not going to lose her again." And I just was hearing that and nothing else for like weeks. And I was like, why? Where is this from? I couldn't place it for the life of me. So that's partially why I have to watch Little Mermaid like at least once a year, is because it wasn't until I was watching The Little Mermaid at school that I was like, oh my, like I had this moment, like visceral reaction of like, oh my God, this is it. Like completely accidentally. And then, yeah, I'm a very audio person.
Were you watching The Little Mermaid in Latin class?
I don't think I ever watched it in Latin class.
No, we just watched Beauty and the Beast in Latin class. When were you watching The Little Mermaid in school?
No, at college.
Oh, okay, at college. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, we did watch a Beauty and the Beast, but it wasn't the Disney Beauty and the Beast. It was the black and white, weird Beauty and the Beast. The Parisian.
We watched both in my class.
Lucky duck. We only watched the weird one.
No, the old French Beauty and the Beast is widely regarded as like a masterpiece.
No, I know, but it is also weird. Weird does not mean bad necessarily.
Did you also watch the Orpheus and Eurydice by the same director?
No.
That's the slightly more famous weird one.
We watched Something Funny Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Funny Thing Happened, yes.
Yes.
But that's classic Sondheim. Hey, Sondheim, Mencken, let's talk about Ortega.
It's not even Ortega here.
Not the equivalence, but if we're going in sort of an auteur theory angle here.
It's Adam Anders and Nikki Hassman again.
Yeah, because it's a reprise of the same song.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it with Zach. Like, this is kind of like the headline song of the movie, I guess.
Yeah. I think this is one of the nicest songs in the movie. Like, it's a nice song. The choreography was really strong in the first part, and so far it's very hand heavy. Like, I'm very much focusing on their hands in this here minute. I don't know about you, because like Gabriella is like really slow to put her hand around Troy, and then Troy like noticeably has a dangling arm off the side so we can do a one-armed dip, and I'm just like, I'm very focused on their hands for some reason.
My eyes only really caught the dip because Gabriella does a good job of like keeping her head leaned back to further pronounce the dip.
Yes. So they just start kind of not waltzing, but like doing a little steppy.
Well, the song is in 3/4, so you're not wrong.
It's waltz adjacent.
I completely agree. What they are doing is a little silly looking.
And also to think, if they're on a college campus and all of a sudden he jumps down from a tree, he puts a corsage on her and then just dips her. Like, we're on the outside looking in, not privy to this. All of a sudden a guy gets out of a tree. We don't see him. He's out of the tree. And then all of a sudden he just dips her. It's very random.
Condra, on the outside looking in, a guy falling out of a tree. What is this, Dear Evan Hansen?
Wow. I get that reference only tangentially because I've seen the Jenny Nicholson video on Dear Evan Hansen. I know nothing about Dear Evan Hansen IRL.
Condor, I'm in the same boat. I've only seen the Jenny Nicholson video about the movie. And I know the one song.
I love that for both of us.
Okay, so they're dancing. Did we miss the part where Gabriella said, "You look handsome"?
We did miss that, but thanks for bringing it back. Wait, is it the mom that picked out the tux, or did she pick out the tux? Well, no, she picked out the tux.
It was a scene earlier where he like asked her what color to get, but as you said, he was kind of more of like a suit jacket than a tux jacket back then.
Yeah, and then he told his mom, thanks, Gabriella picked it out, right?
I have no idea.
That was
literally
like,
do you remember
like
what happens in this movie,
Condra? 3 minutes ago, Tyler.
But, I mean, it doesn't look like a super formal tux. Like, he's not, like, squeezed into it. It, like, kind of just looks like a medium, like he's just wearing.
It's not the baby blue.
And Gabriella's not, like, she's in a dress, I guess.
No,
and
she's wearing jean capris. It's a long shirt and some jeans.
So that, like, that's awkward for her because she's like, oh, you're all dressed up and I'm just in jeans. Okay, but whatever.
Part of that whole grand gesture thing.
So they're singing, 1,000 miles can't keep us apart. My heart is wherever you are. All in all, it kind of gets to this point of like, all right, you already sang this song in the movie. And it's like, oh, our love like can't be limited. It reaches so far. It's like, did we forget that at some point? Like,
yeah, one, did we forget that? And two, we're racing the breakup then.
Well, like I said in the last minute, like, I think it's effective in the romantic gesture department in that, like, Gabriella was clearly feeling mixed feelings and she needed assurance from someone else. Like, she was in a powerless position and Troy stepped up to the plate and proved that their love can't be limited. The problem is, as we said last minute, it didn't feel like it was ever being tested because we had no time to sit in it.
And then we do what these movies love to do best. We go into a dream sequence.
Yeah, sort of a fantasy version of the song where it's...
the play? Actual prom? A little bit of both?
Well, I think it's supposed to be actual prom. And I was like critical of it in my head at first. And then I was like, you know what? Actually, this works. It's like they're combining... well, it would have been better if they had like shown a scene of like Chad and Taylor dancing at their prom first, separately.
Mm.
And then Troy and Gabriella dancing in the middle of the park. And then like cut it together on purpose.
Yeah.
Because really in here, it's like, well, Chad and Taylor are dancing in the background of Troy and Gabriella's dream sequence. So is it supposed to be like, oh, we're connected over all this space. Like, we're still with our friends, even though we're 1,000 miles away. Or is it just we're dreaming that we were in the actual prom, even though we're not there?
Or is it the play? Are they just imagining the play sequence?
I don't think it's a play, because if you look at the set, they're in the gym.
Okay, but they're wearing the same outfits they were wearing during Night of Nights. Like, Taylor's got that silly bow tie thing going on. Although I didn't look to see if Chad's name was on the back of his.
Just because I saw 3 minutes ahead, it is. So.
Okay.
Not 3 minutes, 3 seconds. Just didn't pause it in time.
So, okay.
Well, if it's in their heads, then when they're picturing Taylor and Chad, they're picturing them in those outfits as being at prom. So, yeah, I think it is dream sequence for Troy and Gabriella's sake. But it's weird because it's picturing some things as they would see it in their heads and other things as it would be in real life. That is the prom set up in the gym where they've got this like big garland of.
But like most proms aren't at the schools, like not senior proms, at least.
Yeah, I guess you could go either way with it. Like our school's senior proms weren't at the school, but. You know, I'm sure that most public schools in the country like aren't raising the money to go to the local country club ballroom, like.
But Sharpay and Ryan go to this school.
True. So they do have a local country club that they could use.
Exactly.
I'm just saying it's not unusual for a senior prom to just be at the school.
Okay.
Or maybe
even,
it
like,
is. I don't know.
Well, because like I'm also thinking about the other proms that we've talked about in the last several minutes of this. Like 10 Things I Hate About You. That's at a hotel prom, or not at the school prom, basically.
One of those movies is at the school for the prom.
It's definitely not 10 Things I Hate About You.
Maybe She's All That. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I haven't seen She's All That in ages.
That's the Fat Boy Slim one.
Yeah, no, I know. And I'm like, never been kissed. Never.
I don't know if that has a prom.
No, it does. That's the point of it. Is like,
oh, okay.
It's
whatever.
She's undercover as a reporter and falls in love with the teacher. And
yeah, I mean, we don't need to go into
go
the
to
terrible details of Never Been Kissed.
Okay.
All right. So the dream sequence. Kind of the last thing that happens is they go up right next to Chad and Taylor, and then they actually like spin and swap partners.
Yeah.
Which was a cool choreography thing, but I thought took away from the sort of theme of the scene.
Yeah.
Here.
I mean, it does kind of go against the chances of finding someone like you. Just kidding.
I guess it's good that they like trust their friends to not move in on their romantic partners. But anything else to say about reprise? I don't really, it's so hard because I don't mean to feel this apathetic, and I don't know if I feel this way because that's just like how I'm approaching the movie, or if it's the movie making me feel this way or not making me feel this way in this instance.
You ready for the DCOM of the Week segment?
Yeah, I think that's all I have. So DCOM of the Week segment, cue the music. What have you got today, Condra?
All right, Tyler, I have a classic DCOM segment today in which I'm going to give you the title of a Disney Channel original movie and you're going to tell me what the plot is. And I was thinking.
You were thinking. You do that sometimes.
We're talking about High School Musical, arguably one of the most watched Disney Channel original film of all time and one of the most iconic. But then I was thinking, have we talked about one of the other most iconic Disney Channel original movies of all time? The Cheetah Girls.
Oh, interesting. I know what the Cheetah Girls are, but I don't know what the plot of the movie is.
Yeah.
It's also entirely possible that we did this already. I don't think we did.
I don't think we have.
But it's possible.
I just learned something about the Cheetah Girls in my little review that I do for this, in that the Cheetah Girls is based on a book.
Wild.
Which I did not know, by Deborah Gregory. So this is the 2003 Disney Channel original film, produced by Whitney Houston, directed by Oz Scott, starring Raven, formerly Raven Simone, Adrian Balin, Keeley Williams, and Sabrina Bryan.
I didn't realize Raven had gone with a mononym officially.
Yeah. According to Wikipedia, yes.
Okay. So yeah, what I know about the Cheetah Girls is it was like a weird, slightly over-sexualized thing for Disney at the time. Am I misremembering that?
I feel like probably a little, yeah.
Maybe like the idea of cheetah print being like a theme of like the girl group felt like, oh, you're like tapping into something that's a little bit more, not adult, but like associated with sexy fashion. But they're doing it in like a chaste way, maybe.
I'm not sure. I don't know if that's your interpretation or if that's a general interpretation. I don't know.
I was 5 years old, I guess. So I don't, my memories of it are vague and filtered in with a lot of other things. I also know that the whole Raven thing is that she was in the movie, but she like, the Cheetah Girls were like also a band that kept doing things, but she wasn't like in the band. She was just in the movie version of the band.
Yes, for the most part. She toured a little bit with them, but before the second one dropped out. And I think returned for the third movie or something.
There were three movies?
I think so. Film sequels. Yeah, there were three movies.
And I also know that they did a cover of Superstitious for the release of The Haunted Mansion.
And they did Shake Your Tail Feathers for Chicken Little.
Oh, so true. Wait, but they did do Superstitious, right? I'm not misremembering that.
I'm pretty sure that. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Because I have the very specific memory of watching the little Disney interstitial like music video where they sing Superstition.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the other line in Superstition is, writings on the wall, and they had like a graphic of like ghostly writing on the wall in the little music video thing. And then when we watched Haunted Mansion, I was watching the whole movie being like, ah, when's that writing gonna be on the wall? And there never is.
No, there's not.
So it's like where's the writing?
All right, are you gonna
guess the plot? I really wish that we had actually watched Spice World between seasons, because I just want to guess the plot of Spice World and leave it at that.
You would never be able to guess the plot of Spice World. Never.
Is it not just a thing where they're like trying to get to a concert, but their manager is like trying to screw them over?
No.
Okay. Well, we still need to watch Spice World.
Indeed we do.
Okay. The Cheetah Girls, is it like a getting the group together plot to start, or is it like they're already together and we just see them do something?
I can't, Tyler, that's okay. The point of your project here.
I also don't know if the Cheetah Girls are like, if they're like a fictional band, like are they a band within the universe of the movie, like, and are they like a successful pop band? Are they supposed to be the Spice Girls, but like the Disney version of it. And so the movie is about, hey, we are a bunch of pop stars.
That's a decision you have to make, Tyler. Where do you want this movie to be?
Have you seen any trailers for the new Netflix show, Girls 5 Eva?
Yes, I have.
I might watch it. It feels like it's a niche comedy thing that was like written by podcasters. But anyway,
it's your decision, Ty. Do you want it to be something that they are pop stars, or are they getting their band together and become pop stars? Are they actually singers at all? Is it incidental that they're associated with music?
I guess they were all pretty young to start. Like at this time, they were all sort of teen appearing pop idol types.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say like they start and they're a group of friends and they're just doing like local gigs. Maybe they're like at the high school together or doing like a local county fair performance. And everyone's like, wow, you guys are really good. But like people around here don't get you. So you might have to like go somewhere new to, you know, make your big break. And so maybe they sign on with a manager or like hear about an opportunity for like a talent show type thing. And they go and they're out of their comfort zone a little bit, but their talent breaks them through and they make it over their first hurdle and then they get noticed. And then most of the movie is like the rise and the testing of the relationships. But unlike, say, That Thing You Do or most other movies of this kind,
that's all I'm thinking are just describing That Thing You Do right now.
They are reaffirming their friendship through it all. Like, it gets tested, but they stay tried and true. They're the Cheetah Girls, but they're like the Lionesses together in a pride where they work together. And it ends with them like doing their like first big stadium concert. And then the end of the movie is like a 2 or 3 song run a la A Hard Day's Night, where you're like, okay, sure, let's just watch them do the songs because that's what we're actually here for. And then they ride away in a helicopter while Can't Buy Me Love plays.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know what is useful for me to say about the Cheetah Girls.
No, I just it's kind of funny because their big line from their big song is their Cheetah Girls, Cheetah Sistas.
So true.
Pronounced like sister, sister. But sista, sista.
Yes.
So you're kind of there, actually.
Okay, that makes it all better. Like, if I'm pretty much right, or if I'm close,
you're
that means that I wasn't being lazy.
Yeah, you're closer than you realized. So it's the four girls who all are—they're very close friends, but they all have their very distinct lives. Like, one of the girls is from a lower class than the others and has to work really hard and like doesn't get nice things all the time. One of them, her parent is very preoccupied with her own social life, so she feels like alone. And they are striving to be the first freshman to win their school's talent show. And when they audition for the talent show, an alum wants to sign them for a record label. And
Condra, I'm doing pretty good so far.
I know you are. But this is where it's going to go off a little bit. So Raven's character starts taking the lead and saying things that the girls don't necessarily agree with. And there starts to be a lot of infighting that like, oh, you're saying the wrong things. Like, this isn't actually what we want. And all the parents are also like, do we want our kids to have a record deal? Like, this seems a little weird. Raven's character also wants to take out like their effort in the talent show. She's like, you know what, we got a record deal, we should just tap out of the talent show. And everyone else is like, no, that's the point of this, is like, we want to be on the talent show. And she's also very mean to the lower class friends, like, your clothing is bad, and like
that's just, no fun,
like, rude, like, mean. And so one of the other girls takes the lower class friend on a shopping trip and gets in trouble for like using the mom's emergency credit card kind of thing. Like, they're
wow.
Yeah.
It must have been a movie from 2003 if there's a, it's only for emergencies. This is a fashion emergency.
Well, it's not like a fashion emergency. It's just like, wow, my friend has a really bad life or like a challenging life. And like, I want to make her feel better. But also they decide to do their shopping spree on Madison Avenue. So the record producer comes in and is like, we want you guys to be lip syncing and wearing these wild costumes and masks and like not really doing your art. And the girls
That's
are
not
like
them.
And the girls are like, whoa, like.
So maybe, it's Wayne's World.
It's a little Wayne's World-y. But there's also miscommunication because like one of the girls thinks that the others have taken the deal and the other thinks like vice versa on the one versus three. And then so. Raven's character has this little dog that like keeps popping up in the movie, and the end kind of is the dog like gets into trouble in the middle of like Manhattan, and the girls all like run to the dog to help rescue, and they sing to help get the dog out, like to calm him down so they can get him out. And then they end up singing a song in the middle of New York City, like in the middle of Manhattan, and they end up being in the talent show and declining the offer with the record deal. They end up backing out of the record deal and like going to the talent show instead, and like friendship wins.
Yeah, it's a little bit more like teen high school based than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Like, it's very much, like, within the high school sphere the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea that they do the, like, Ringo in A Hard Day's Night. Like, oh, we all need to show our affection for this one person by, like, going rescuing them from a situation.
Yeah,
but it's just one of the dogs.
Yeah, it's a dog. And then the other two are, like, they've graduated and they're like traveling the world, or the other two. And Raven's in the first one, or in the second movie, but not the third movie. That's where I got it backwards.
Okay. Seems fine.
Yeah.
I guess describing like the character traits and personalities would have been a better part of my pitch. Like, I should have tried that.
Yeah.
But I just assumed they were all gal pals.
I think what, so Whitney Houston was involved in some interesting projects, and there was another producer. Her name is Deborah Martin Chase, and she produced Cheetah Girls and the 1997 Cinderella with Brandy and Whitney Houston and Princess Diaries and Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. And like a lot of these like classic early 2000s, like teen girl movies that really were like a diverse group of friends. They were maybe a little more realistic in like makeup of people, like they were a little more grounded, and she was just this incredible person in the Walt Disney Company. She was like I'm reconfirming, she was the first African-American female producer to have a deal with a major studio. Like, her actions made big differences in this early 2000s Disney. And she brought Cheetah Girls at a time where we're seeing Lizzie McGuire, Even Stevens, like your typical white family movies and TV shows and stuff. And for her to come in and be like, three of the four leads in this are BIPOC, and then our white character is a foster child. Like, so she really pushed for some cool stories in Disney at the time. And I mean, I don't think without her, we would have had Cheetah Girls.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, it's not like Disney had never made movies starring people of color, but like having the person behind the camera and like producing really makes the product feel genuine.
It felt much more sincere than like Color of Friendship.
Yeah. And I guess I never realized that Cheetah Girls was like a somewhat grounded and like respectable story. I thought it was just like, oh, they're pop singers and that's what people like about it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that there was like heart to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Plus, they were very fashionable.
Oh, yeah. Cheetah print.
Well, each of them had their own pattern. Like one of the girls had like like zebra stripey kind of, like they all had their own, that was part of the mask thing. Like I kind of ignored this, but like when the producer's like, each of you is going to be a different cat with your own print, like that was part of it.
Yeah, it's very early 2000s to be like animal,
yeah,
stripes.
Oh yeah. Well, that was minute 86 of High School Musical 3 Senior Year and a synopsis guess of the Cheetah Girls. Thank you, Tyler. I realized we had never done Cheetah Girls before, and I was like, wow, this seems weird.
Cheetahs never win, and winners never cheat.
But we are all Cheetah Girls, Cheetah Sisters.
Yes.
Well, until next time, you can find us on Instagram at Amateur Nerds.
Or on Tumblr at Wildcat Minute.
You can send us an email to amateurnerdspresent@gmail.com.
Yeah, let us know which is your favorite cheetah girl. Is it posh cheetah or sporty cheetah?
All right, I processed a book today that was called Sporty Sprite, like fairy. And I was like, if this is not intentional, I'm going to be mad. Special thanks to our artist, Theo Golden, at TGoldenArt on Instagram.
And our musician, Joe Winslow, whom you can find at joewinslowmusic.com.
I have been Condra.
And I've been Tyler. We'll see you next time to find out if the proms ever manifest as real. You can bet on it.